When you're looking for a new computer or need help with one you already own, call 231-8000 and Madison Computer Works will get things up and running for you. Madison Computer Works, computers that work for you.
Jeff's Guitar Clinic is a multifaceted shop offering guitars, amplifiers, and all accessories, guitar lessons for all ages, and instrument repair of the highest quality. Take the scenic drive to beautiful Fort Atkinson and see what total customer satisfaction is all about. Call Jeff's Guitar Clinic today at 920-723-1733. That's Jeff's Guitar Clinic at 920-723-1733. Jeffsguitar.com.
Welcome to another podcast, SliceOffice.com, brought to you by the United Steelworkers and many great local unions like the Madison Firefighters, Madison Teachers, and Madison Area Teamsters. Joining us now, Outagamie County Executive Thomas Nelson. Mr. Nelson, welcome to the show.
It's great to be back on.
All right, I'm going to play part of this story from WBAY Action 2 News in Green Bay about what's going on in your neck of the woods, and then I'll have you comment, and then we'll play the rest. Here we go.
We are so excited to have Foxconn here with this $10 billion investment leading to 13,000 good-paying, family-supporting jobs right here in the state of Wisconsin.
Good evening. Thanks for joining us. In a developing story tonight, Governor Scott Walker and Foxconn sign off on a multi-billion dollar deal today, bringing that massive display screen factory to southeast Wisconsin.
It's the largest state tax incentive package offered to a foreign company in U.S. history. Governor Walker and the chairman of Foxconn Technology Group signed the contract in the scene this afternoon. Under the deal, the state is providing up to $3 billion in tax incentives to the Taiwanese tech giant. In return, Foxconn must build the $10 billion plant and campus in Mount Pleasant in Racine County. It must also create up to 13,000 jobs, but it's where those jobs are coming from that's drawing concern. As we told you on Wednesday, this contract does not require Foxconn to hire a certain percentage of workers from Wisconsin, a provision sought by Democrats.
And then you think about all those other indirect and induced jobs, and people have said, where are you going to get all the jobs? Somebody even questioned while we were debating this in the legislative process, will there be workers from Illinois? I doggone hope they are. We need them. Move up to Wisconsin.
Governor's excitement also not sitting well with other Wisconsin leaders. Last night we told you about more job losses impacting the Fox Valley.
All right, before we start talking about the Fox Valley, in some respects this is Foxconn versus the Fox Valley, considering what's going on. I want you to dissect that Foxconn deal, your problems with it, and had you been in a situation like Senator Wirch or former Representative Mason, what would you have done? Let's just say Foxconn had gone to the Fox Valley.
That's a good question. I think the first way to approach that is, how does this affect the current economy?
Could you speak up just a little bit, Thomas?
Sure. I mean, the question here is, how does this affect the current economy, existing businesses? The reason why I think this has engendered so much opposition, not just from Democrats, but independents, and especially from other parts of the state, is, you know, how are the benefits of Foxconn going to be felt across the state? Not just in one corner of the state, but how is something that is going to happen 2.5 hours away from the Fox Valley, or, you know, 6.5, 7 hours away from Superior, how is it going to benefit those communities? And keep in mind, the state incentive package is not going to be coming from one part of the state. We are all going to be paying for it. Every man, woman, and child will be contributing about $540 toward Foxconn over the life of this deal. So for the Nelson family, we're going to be spending just over $2,000. For the Outagamie County family, we're going to be contributing about $93 million. I mean, does anyone in Outagamie County really think that we are going to get $93 million back from this investment? And I think the governor said it best. I think he has said what a lot of us have been assuming, which is a lot of those jobs, because of its geographic location, are going to go to residents from Illinois. So this is going to...
So it'll be better for people living on Lake Zurich in Illinois than people living on Lake Winnebago.
And not just that, though, but they don't have to pay for it. So someone in Menasha, in Oshkosh, every man, woman, child is going to be spending over $500. Someone in, you know, Lake Forest, Illinois, they're going to be spending nothing on this.
How troubled are you that the Republicans voted down all the labor provisions that Representative Sinicki and others put forward?
Well, I think that those provisions would have gone a long way in trying to shore up some very, very weak parts of this. But keep in mind, Sly, I mean, from my perspective as the Ottawa County Executive, I know that this is shared in many corners of the state, is even if everything the governor is saying about Foxconn comes to pass, okay, and they meet these benchmarks, they meet these milestones, we still have to deal with the fact that the benefits are going to be felt in just, and largely felt in just one part of the state. That's number one. And then second of all, if you're talking about a new company coming into that part of the state, and they're going to be hiring up to 10 or 13,000 people, how is that going to affect the workforce lookout in the Fox Valley and Green Bay? I've talked to a number of small business owners up here, and they ask the legislators from the Fox Valley who voted for this provision, you know, how are you going to deal with the workforce development issues? I mean, if you have a focus of trying to recruit and retain 10,000, 13,000 jobs in one part of the state, isn't that going to put added pressure on employers in the Fox Valley and Green Bay? Now, to his argument about how that this is going to be good for the supply chain, like this is going to affect other businesses related to Foxconn, don't you think that, let's say they needed a paper manufacturer, okay? Don't you think it's more likely that it would benefit a paper manufacturer in the Chicagoland? Or if there's a paper manufacturer in the Fox Valley, don't you think it's more likely for them to pick up and relocate away from the Fox Valley? Or perhaps if they're going to make a decision whether or not they want to expand operations, they will do it elsewhere. So I don't think people really, policymakers, legislators, I don't think they've really talked through and really thought through the long and the deep ramifications of this decision.
Scott Walker is no shoo-in for re-election. Let's just say one of his opponents, a Democrat, is elected governor next year. Should that governor kill this deal? Can they?
I think this governor, the next governor, must look at this and renegotiate that. I think there's been a number of candidates for governor who have talked about this, and I think that's exactly the right move, because for most people, virtually everyone I've talked to, $3 billion is just way too much money. And then you have to start talking about, okay, if we're going to make this kind of investment, is it really fair to do that when there are other parts of the state, like the Fox Valley, are hurting? I mean, this comes down to a fundamental question of fairness. I mean, is it right? Is it fair to ask, for example, those workers and those families among the 200 so from Appian who have been let go or will be let go at the start of next year sometime, or the 620 workers at Appleton Coda, is it really fair to ask them, who have been shouldering a disproportionate share of the state job loss, is it really fair for them to contribute toward this? So I think that there's a lot of issues, and I think there's a lot of questions surrounding this that justifiably have not been answered and need to be addressed.
You know, for years, the state has spent a lot of money, and probably the federal government as well, trying to clean up the Fox River. And obviously the paper industry has made major advances environmentally. But, you know, it's been a big deal, and people, you know, people use that river for recreation. The same with Green Bay. Are you concerned about the environment in this Foxconn deal?
Yes, and I think not only am I concerned about what this means for the immediate area where Foxconn is going to be built, what I'm more concerned about what this is going to mean for other parts of the state. Because what we're already seeing is other businesses in other industries saying that if Foxconn, if this Taiwanese company, new to the state, that hasn't been here before, if they can have these types of exemptions Why can't a business that has been here for generations, why can't they be treated under the same rules? So I think what you're seeing is not just, you know, bad practices when it comes to, you know, conservation and environmental issues surrounding Foxconn, but I think what you're seeing is you're going to be seeing a race to the bottom, where this is going to go much further than we think it is, and it's going to affect a lot of parts of the state.
And, you know, potentially affect tourism, affect other people's businesses, other people's livelihood. Obviously, we've seen that in central Wisconsin with these high-capacity wells. You know, they're robbing Peter to pay Paul. They're letting the big corporate farmers have these high-capacity wells, and it's draining people's lakes.
Well, in this case, I think it would be robbing Peter to pay Taiwan.
It's not a good thing. Well, Foxconn does not have a good labor or environmental record.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. It doesn't. I think this is a perfect time for us to have a reckoning. What makes Wisconsin stand out? What makes us special? There's a lot of things. And I think one that is connected to this debate is our natural resources. I mean, we are the Saudi Arabia of fresh water. That is our advantage, and that is what we must safeguard, and that is what we must protect at all costs. Remember the words of the late, great Senator Gaylord Nelson, who said that the economy is a wholly owned subsidiary of the environment. Spot on comments that he said, you know, decades ago. We should have learned that lesson then. And it's not too late, though. But I think we really need to wisen up. And I think this is an excellent opportunity for us to have a reckoning with that question, have a renewed focus on how we have to do everything we can to safeguard this precious resource. Because you look around the country, you look around the world, and we are the envy. And that's something that we need to focus back on.
All right, we'll pick it up from there. Tom Nelson with us, Outagamie County Executive, as we talk about Foxconn versus the Fox Valley. It's liesoffice.com, brought to you by the United Steelworkers.
Injury lawyers Mike Riley and John Walsh.
John and I approach personal injury cases in the same way. We want to be certain that our clients are treated fairly, that our clients are comfortable, that our clients know they can trust us to get the best result for them.
It's our professional responsibility to make certain you are fairly and fully compensated. Most of our cases are settled without a trial.
Call injury lawyers Mike Riley and John Walsh at 257-5661 for the personal attention you deserve.
We're back with Tom Nelson. United Steelworkers brings you our SliesOffice.com podcast today. Tom is County Executive of Outagamie County, which of course is Appleton, Kaukauna, and many communities surrounding that area. All right, Thomas, let me play the second part of this story from WBAY Television.
Outagamie County Executive Tom Nelson says the area has been hit hard by a third of the state's total job losses in just the past few months. Today, we verified that claim with the help of the Department of Workforce Development. Since August, about 1,300 jobs were lost in the Fox Valley, a total of 3,600 across the Badger State. Some of the major layoffs included Appleton Coated, Appvion, Ryder Integrated Logistics, and Saputo.
News 5 Nolan Blair explains what this means for the future of the Fox Valley.
Make no mistake, we are in the economic fight of our life.
The Workforce Development Board agrees our area needs to work continuously to grow, but experts say the economy remains healthy, with thousands of jobs available despite some sectors seeing cutbacks.
Right now we're seeing the paper industry in particular adjust to changing demands on a global economy, but there are plenty of places for workers these days and good jobs at comparable wages.
Outagamie County Executive Tom Nelson says these job losses aren't fair to families, especially when leaders are willing to sign over billions of dollars in tax incentives for Foxconn.
Should we really be spending $3 billion on a Taiwanese company that's largely going to affect just one part of the state when we're losing good-paying, family-supporting paper jobs?
Republican State Senator Roger Roth says the $10 billion Foxconn promises to invest will have a major impact on our area.
Whether you're in the paper industry with packaging or in protective papers, or in manufacturing, creating devices in other forms of technology to build into what they're doing down in Foxconn, you absolutely are going to see an impact because of this.
In the Fox Valley, Nolan Blair, Action 2 News.
All right, your reaction to that story.
Okay, so working backwards, first of all, to Senator Roth's point, he didn't really answer the question, and I don't think that he's really articulating exactly what's going on here, okay? Even if paper products are going to figure its way into the supply chain for Foxconn, it is much more likely that they would go to a paper producer in Chicagoland than the Fox Valley. That's number one. Number two, it's likely that that could have an adverse, a negative effect on companies up here in the Fox Valley when they make decisions on where they're going to expand their operations. So there's a really good example that even if Foxconn works out, it's going to be bad for a community like the Fox Valley. Now, we are spending about $3 billion. We are committed to spending $3 billion toward Foxconn. What I've been saying the last couple of days, imagine what we could do for the paper industry right here in the Paper Valley and in Green Bay and central Wisconsin if we took just 1% of the Foxconn outlay. That amounts to $30 million. Imagine what we could do with that kind of money to help retool the white paper operations, which Appleton Coated is currently, into a brown paper operation. When folks look at paper, and there are some people that will say, well, is paper an old line industry? Is it a traditional? Don't we need to look to the future? I say that paper is the future, specifically brown paper, okay? What is one of the fastest growing companies in the United States right now?
Amazon.
Exactly. And what is Amazon? What do they do?
They ship products.
Exactly. Amazon is basically a brown paper box with stuff in it.
Hey, you got to give me a little credit. I got both your questions right. I didn't even know the answer was supposed to be. And I'm not a big fan of Amazon, by the way, but that's another story.
But the point being is it is short-sighted for anyone out there, whether it's a legislator or the governor or anyone else, to look at paper as an old line industry. Nothing could be further from the truth. Paper is our future, especially brown paper. So I think we have a great opportunity to recap, to have a reckoning here on what our top resource is, and that is water, and what we can do to safeguard that resource for generations to come. This is also an opportunity for us to take stock in existing industry that has served our community so well for so many years, and to not take the and not to look at the short-sighted, but to recognize that the answer to our economic woes are right in front of us. We need to support existing industry. We need to support existing jobs. That is where our resources should go. Our resources should not go to a Taiwanese company that has had no presence in this country or in this state. We need to invest in these Wisconsin born and bred in industries that have supported great paying jobs for generations and can do so for generations to come. That's the answer.
All right. Explain what's going on right now. Last time we talked, you and others were trying to find a buyer for Appleton Coated Paper. How is that progressing?
Well, since we last spoke, I think the last podcast we did was a few weeks ago. So I think that was right at the start of the 90-day period. So since that time, I think the answer to that question is stable, and I think we're on the right trajectory. So we continue to see interested parties, potential buyers, make calls, come on to the paper, come to the mill, walk around, kick the tires, ask questions, do their due diligence. So
this isn't to scrap the plant.
No, right. So the original concern, the reason why I joined the steelworkers in objecting to the initial sale for Appleton Coated is that it was bought by, and that purchase went through, it was approved by a scrap dealer called Industrial Assets. But since that time, the judge here at Allegheny County has directed the current buyer, Industrial Assets, to market the facility to find a second buyer who will run it as a mill. So since that time, there have been a number of parties. I know that there have been, I think, two or three groups or individuals that have actually contacted me directly. So I can say firsthand that there definitely is interest. I talked to the CEO as well as, you know, Bolton and Geenan and Denny Lauer, if not on a weekly basis. I think Bolton,
those are the leaders in the United Steelworkers.
Right. So you have John Geenan, who's the International Vice President for Paper, who's from Kokona, by the way, Michael Bolton, who is the District 2 Director, which covers all of Wisconsin, and Denny Lauer, who is the staff rep for the workers at Appleton Coated.
Tell me about these other job losses that have happened since we last talked.
Okay, so since we last talked, there was Appleton Coated, which is 620. There is U.S. Paper Converters, which is located in Grand Chute, as the name describes. They are a paper converter. They have 52 jobs. They'll be closing at the end of next month. And then Appian announced last week that they will be relocating operations to their Pennsylvania facility, affecting about 220 jobs. So taken together, you know, this goes into the pattern that I'm very concerned about that was spoken to on the WBAY broadcast last week, which is there have been about 3,000 job losses due to WARN Act notices since August. Of those 3,000, about one-third can be attributed to jobs right here in the Fox Valley, and most of those jobs are paper-related. So one-third of the job losses from the WARN Act notices since August have happened right here in the Fox Valley. And that despite the fact that we only constitute about 3.5% of the state's population. So this is really hurting us. And even though we are in an economy where unemployment is low and it's not being felt the way it would have felt if this was during the Great Recession, a situation we dealt with the closure of the New Page Mill in Kimberly, the long-term consequence of state leaders, of whomever, not stepping up and supporting the paper industry right now at this pivotal moment, at this hour of their need, could have long-ranging consequences, negative consequences for generations to come.
And not just for these jobs, you know, for every manufacturing job, it creates a series of others.
Thank you, Sly. That is exactly the point. Now, most manufacturing jobs will support one, two, or three other jobs in an unrelated field. That's great. But paper jobs, according to John Geenan, support anywhere to between 5 and 7 additional jobs. Why? Because, first of all, they're manufacturing. It's a driver industry. But number two, they are good-paying, family-supporting jobs. The average wage at Appleton Coated is about $24 an hour. A lot of these newer businesses coming on, and you know the governor's talked about this with Foxconn, are more in their area like $12 or $14 an hour, to say nothing about the disparity in the value of the benefits. So it's because paper jobs pay so well that it has the very real residual effect of supporting 5 other jobs in the community. When they were going through their receivership, I looked at the list of creditors, and it was page after page after page of small businesses, most of whom were located within a 15-20 mile radius of combined locks. So first and foremost, this is about the paper industry. It's about, in the case of Appleton Coated, the 620 workers and their families. But do the math, it's also about the 3,000 other jobs in that 15-20 mile radius that will be directly affected by the closure of a mill.
All right, before we go, I want to ask you, what are our federal officials doing? Obviously, the president made some promises on trade that were supposed to address issues that are affecting the paper industry and the Chinese cheating. What are our federal officials doing to combat this?
Well, last year during my congressional campaign, and I was asked, I think you asked me about then-candidate Donald Trump's support for trade. And I made the point back then a year and a half ago. The only reason why Donald Trump likes the word or likes the issue of trade is because it has, you know, the word deal in it, trade deals. And you can see after almost a year of his presidency, he's done almost absolutely nothing on this. So that's been a complete ruse. Now, what are our federal officials doing this? As a little bit of a teaser here for your podcast, it is very likely that the junior senator of our state, Tammy Baldwin, will begin taking action dealing with the banking aspect of the Appleton-coded receivership issue. So I don't know if I talked too much about this in the last podcast, but to summarize, how Appleton-coded got to this point is because of the relationship between PNC Bank and the receiver. And there were some steps that PNC took that I thought were wrongheaded, that were hurtful to the company, but they just didn't care because they wanted to get out of the investment and to take their money at an outsized fee. They were able to structure a deal with the receiver where they were getting paid about $50,000 a day during the time of the receivership. That translated into about $2 million above and beyond the terms of what was a high-risk loan.
Right.
So overnight, they turned that from a high-risk loan to basically a payday loan.
Right. Predatory.
This is also coming from, right, predatory. And this is also coming from a bank, PNC, that took $7.6 billion in bailout money 10 years ago. I raise that point because I think it's a moral question. In their hour of need, the U.S. taxpayers came in and helped them out. In the hour of need for the workers in combined locks at Appleton Coated, what did that bank do? Did they help them out? No. They tried to shut down that mill and eliminate 620 good-paying jobs. Shame on PNC.
Final question, yes or no? Has the guy that lives right down the road in Oshkosh, the senior U.S. senator, been helping you with this?
Absolutely not. I'm not even sure if he's aware of this issue.
Thomas Nelson, County Executive of Outagamie County, thank you for joining us at SliesOffice.com, brought to you by the United Steelworkers.
SliesOffice.com.
Thanks a million.
Bye-bye.
Making stuff matters, because when we make things in America, America makes it. American workers and families make it. Our communities make it. Consider this. For every one manufacturing job in our communities, five more jobs are supported. Manufacturing jobs pay an average of 10 to 50% more than service sector jobs. That allows working families to support their local businesses, schools, emergency services, and more. Creating 2.5 million new manufacturing jobs would mean at least $100 billion for our economy over the next decade. Domestic manufacturing is the green economy. It's among the cleanest, most efficient, and productive in the world. That's why the United Steelworkers and our more than 1 million members and retirees are fighting so hard to protect and grow manufacturing. Because making stuff really does matter. Join our fight. Visit usw.org and like us at facebook.com/steelworkers. Support American manufacturing. Buy American. Buy Union.